This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter. As March Madness rages across the basketball landscape, there's a glum reality in North Texas. TCU's coach was fired Monday, and the SMU men's team, which peaked at number 8 in the country a few weeks back, is sitting at home. That's because the NCAA put SMU on probation before the season started. New York Times columnist Michael Powell dug into the case and discovered the seamy underbelly of college and high school hoops in Dallas. Michael Powell, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
Let's start with a little history. 4 years ago, SMU was a basketball doormat until it hired a legendary coach with a checkered past, Larry Brown. His last two college jobs peaked with trips to the Final Four and then probation. Brown has turned things around at SMU.
He's a very good coach. I mean, not just a very good coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach, and I would never deny his basketball props. He also, of course, hired, I should say of course, because this is sort of the time-honored formula, he hired a group of young assistants, and really their first order of business is to recruit the very best players possible. And one of the things that he really wanted to do, as he has said, was to kind of break open the inner city Dallas market. The problem is, not for all of them, but for a number, is that you confront academics. I mean, and SMU is a school with pretty high standards academically. Mm-hmm. So then the conundrum is, well, how do I get that kid essentially into my school?
A couple years ago, long before this scandal broke, I talked with Brown about taking this job after so many years in the NBA.
It's a never-ending job. Recruiting never stops. But I love it. To be honest with you, I love working with young people. I love being part of SMU and its community, and I love being around young coaches that want to do what I'm doing.
One of those young coaches was at the center of the case you looked into, Michael. He's quit now at SMU, but Larry Brown still told you he's going to be a great head coach.
The dominant way that a young assistant proves his bona fides is by going out and getting the best possible player, in this case, Keith Frazier. The top guy, that is Brown in this case, really doesn't want to know too many of the details. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, call me in when I need to try to seal the deal with this kid, get the kid. And the tension there, of course, is that if you're an ambitious young assistant, you're going to do almost anything necessary to get that player.
You found that assistant coach, Ulrich Malagi, went to Kimball High, which is where Keith Frazier transferred to high school here in Dallas. And investigations showed that there was some academic pressure put on there.
So what we know is that he kept calling the assistant coach, trying to find out if this kid was going to graduate high school. And we know from investigative reports that the Dallas schools later did that, in fact, he was in great danger of not graduating. And in fact, almost certainly should not have graduated. In other words, yet somehow that all worked out at the end. And at one point, the assistant coach went to the high school basketball coach and said, get your act together, make this happen, because there's a good chance right now that I'm not going to be able to get this kid into SMU. And if I can't get him in, that's going to be a big problem. Well, what does that mean? I mean, one of the things is, if you're a very ambitious high school coach, is you rely on basically being able to get kids at who are coming into high school, the eighth and ninth grade level, and say to them, you come here, you come to Kimball High School, and I'm going to place you into really top D1 schools. So you're going to make extraordinary efforts to make sure that you're on the right side with a powerful university.
This was all part of a bigger scandal in Dallas high school athletics. More than a dozen teachers and staff lost their jobs, including Keith Frazier's coach at Kimball. How did SMU react to Frazier's academic troubles?
SMU has a standing committee, a standing academic committee, that is supposed to look at academic and some other special acceptances. And essentially, it strikes me as a quite honorable way to try to figure out, you know, the that cross between letting in kid who might have trouble getting in the front door, but who nonetheless, with some help, could prosper at the university. This committee looked at Keith Frazier, this student, and said, no, there's nothing in this student's academic background that indicates that he's going to be able to make it here. And in an extraordinary move, the provost at SMU overruled them.
So how did SMU respond to your reporting on this?
I guess to my view, not well. I mean, when I asked them, well, why did you overrule, for instance, your own committee? They said, well, you know, these were extraordinary circumstances, and we look at the holistic student. And there was just, I mean, I should say that was an answer that brought laughs to SMU faculty when I ran that by them. When I asked Larry Brown, well, how is recruiting going? He said, you know, really, it's never been better, and that to some extent, all of the attention paid to SMU has helped him, presumably by making the name of the university better known. And I must say, looked at in toto, it really felt like SMU had made their Faustian bargain by pulling in Larry Brown. They wanted a top D1 basketball program. They've gotten that, and they're not terribly interested in looking too closely at the kind of collateral damage that comes out of that decision.
Which is also kind of interesting considering the history at SMU. The school's football program was put on the death penalty about 25 years ago. I wonder if anything surprised you about this story.
What surprises me almost always when I've looked at similar stories is the lack of embarrassment. When I look at the response I've gotten from SMU alumni, with a few really honorable exceptions, it's been, well, you know, so what? I mean, and if anything, the anger was that this kid, Keith Frazier, had not been as good as advertised, and that, well, he wasn't, you know, it's just as well he's left.
The word you keep coming back to is tragedy. Why?
The way I look at it, the tragedy is that this now young man, at one point kid, had really not received any kind of a real education from arguably early high school and perhaps earlier, right on through college. I mean, he was purely seen as an adornment to basketball programs. And that strikes me because it is something that plays out broadly, and not just, of course, in Dallas, mm-hmm. but in cities across the country. That strikes me as a tragedy.
We're in the middle of March Madness. I wonder how digging into a story like this affects how you see an event like the NCAA tournament.
I confess it does change how I look at it, and I can't overstate this. There are some wonderful student athletes, and with an emphasis on both of those words, right? But you can't help but look at the major programs and think that, you know, this is essentially a pretty corrupt system. And it's a system in which everybody knows it's corrupt, and it's like we're all complicit in pretending it's something that it isn't, something better.
Michael Powell, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks very much. I've enjoyed it.